Our opening hymn for today is number 688. Please stand. Our service for this morning begins on page 184. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Who made heaven and earth.
I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity
of my sin. O Almighty God, merciful Father,
I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. but I am heartily sorry for them and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all of your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. At this time, I will direct you to your propers insert as we speak together the introit half verse by half verse. I have not hidden your deliverance within my heart.
I have spoken of your faithfulness and your salvation.
I waited patiently for the Lord. He drew me up from the pit of destruction, out of the miry bog.
And set my feet upon a rock, making my steps secure.
He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God.
Many will see and fear him, and put their trust in the Lord.
Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust. You have multiplied, O Lord my God, your wondrous deeds and your thoughts toward us. None can compare with you.
I will proclaim and tell them, yet they are more than
can be told. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever.
I have not hidden your deliverance within my heart.
I have spoken of your
faithfulness and your salvation. As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever.
The Lord be with you. We pray together the collect of the day as it's found on your proper's insert. Let us pray.
Almighty and everlasting God, who governs all things in heaven and on earth, mercifully hear the prayer of your people and grant us your peace through all our days. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Please be seated for the readings. The Old Testament reading for the second Sunday after the Epiphany comes from 1 Samuel. Chapter 3. The young man Samuel was ministering to the Lord under Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no frequent vision. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his own place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel, and he said, "Here I am," and ran to Eli, and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call. Lie down again." So he went and lay down. And the Lord called again, "Samuel." And Samuel arose and went to Eli, and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the young man. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant hears.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood, calling as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant hears." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. At this time, I'll direct you again to your small catechism insert. Today, we continue our confession on the Apostles' Creed. What is the third article of the Apostles' Creed?
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
What does this mean?
I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord, or come to him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. In the same way, he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. In this Christian church, he daily and richly forgives all my sins and the sins of all believers. On the last day, he will raise me and all the dead and give eternal life to me and all believers in Christ. This is most certainly true.
The epistle comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 6. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be enslaved by anything. Food is meant for the stomach, and the stomach for food.
and God will destroy both one and the other. The body is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God raised the Lord and will also raise us up by his power. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? Never. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a prostitute becomes one body with her? For as it is written, the two will become one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. Flee from sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body, but the sexually immoral person sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the first chapter.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now, Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Nathanael answered him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered him, "Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you will see heaven opened, and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ. At this time, I will direct you to the back cover of your hymnal, or page 192, as we confess together the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Please be seated. Before we sing our sermon hymn, I got something for the kids, but I won't make them come up. But if they want to listen up, are there kids here? I know there are. I can see you. I got something to show you. It's inside this bag. I bet you some of the adults will know what's inside this bag. What's that? What is it? Do you know what it is? You guys are in the front row, so I'll pick on you. It's a cup. You did know it. You're right. You just have to have a little confidence to speak.
Here you have a cup, right? And what makes this cup so special? I just took it out of a nice bag. What is so special about this cup? Is it shiny? Yeah, that's pretty special, huh? It's actually got silver plates all over the outside of it. That's pretty special. Silver is a precious metal. It's very expensive. This is an expensive cup. And so, since this is an expensive cup, should I go outside? Should I dig in the sand with it?
No.
Should I take it out into the snow and use it to make snowballs?
No.
No. Should I take it out into the mud and just kind of throw it around or use it to dig in my garden? No, that wouldn't be very good. This is a special cup. And in fact, this cup is even more special than just being shiny and covered with precious metal because of what we put into the cup. You guys know what we put in this cup? We put wine into this cup. And then when Jesus' words are said over top of the cup, that wine becomes Jesus' holy and precious blood. That's pretty special, isn't it? And so there are certain ways that we want to use this cup that would be in keeping with what it's designed for. And there are certain uses of this cup that would just be totally not good, totally inappropriate. And this is just like you. You are special. And you might not be made of silver. At least that'd be kind of weird. But it's not because of how you look. It's because of what's inside of you. See, the Holy Spirit has been placed into each and every one of you, and that makes you very special because God dwells within you. And it means that because God is in you, because He has made you special by the Spirit, that some things that are appropriate for you to do, some things are good to do, and some things are bad to do. And so if the Holy Spirit is in you, right, I'm going to pick on you guys in the front, should we use our bodies that the Holy Spirit lives in? Should we use them to hit people?
No.
What about kick people?
Yeah.
No, that doesn't make sense. What about should we help people?
Yes.
Should we use our bodies to do that?
Yeah.
Right. Our bodies also have this ability to talk, right? We can speak with our bodies, just like you're hearing me. And so should we use our words to be mean to people?
No.
No. Should we use our words to make fun of our siblings?
No.
Or in words to hurt them?
No,
you're right. Should we use our words to encourage people and to build them up?
Yes.
Yeah. And so God has given us this wonderful gift because the Holy Spirit is in us now, some things are wonderful for us to do, and some things we should really stay away from. And if you want the perfect example of this, you need to look no further than Jesus. You see, He took all of Godhood, everything that is God, and He brought Himself down to live inside of a human body. And that made Jesus a very special person. He's the only one who is truly God 100% and truly man 100%. And you know what He does with that? He doesn't hit people. He doesn't kick people. He doesn't tear people down with His words. But He always lives a life of service. He helps people. He speaks words of encouragement. At the end of His life, He goes to a cross where He empties Himself. Where all of that blood that we said was going to be in this cup, probably next Sunday, Jesus pours all of that blood out of His body that way you might have it. That way you might be forgiven. That way you might be filled with good things. And for that, let's try to live a holy life. Let us pray. Dear Jesus,
Thank you
for coming to earth and for filling me with good things.
Help me
to be kind
and caring
and loving
toward all those around
me,
just as you were
to me.
In Jesus' name.
All right. At this time, we are now going to sing our next hymn, which for today is hymn 839.
Thank you.
Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I believe that God has made me and all creatures, that he has given me my body and soul, eyes, ears, and all my members, my reason and all my senses, and still takes care of them. Luther's Small Catechism. This is what we confess to believe according to the first article of the Apostles' Creed. In other words, we believe that we are body and soul creatures, that both our body and our soul have been given to us by God, and therefore it is not just our souls, but also our bodies that glorify God. As our epistle text stated quite clearly, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. Our bodies are a gift. Our bodies are to be used in God-pleasing ways. But much like every other gift that God gives us, it doesn't matter what it is. It's kind of this double-edged sword. We have this ability to use it for good and God-pleasing ways. And on the other hand, we have the ability to abuse it, to use it in ways that are not God-pleasing. It becomes especially hard in our society, in our world right now, because we hear things about the body. Words like, well, if it feels good, do it. Or, it's my body, and I'll do whatever I want with it. Of course, there is nothing new under the sun. And the message that Paul writes to the Corinthians through the inspiration of the Spirit is, of course, a very similar situation to what we have today. You see, in Corinth, there were lies that were circulating society, and that is that the soul was good, and the soul was eternal, and the body was somehow neutral or bad. It wasn't really part of a person's being, but the body, it was destined for death, and then it would decompose, and then it would be no more. And so the soul was the good part, because that was the part that would last forever. And so people imagine that what they did in the body really had no bearing on what happened to the soul, that these two entities were completely separate from one another, that the body was some kind of tool. The problem with this idea, though, is that it meant people believed they could do whatever they wanted with their bodies, and their soul wouldn't be affected at all. So, gluttony? No problem. Want to get loaded every night? No big deal. And of course, as Paul mentioned specifically, sexual immorality. Well, there must be no such thing if what happens in the body doesn't matter. This flies directly in the face from what we know about creation. God created Adam and Eve, and Adam first he formed from the dust of the ground, and then he breathed into Adam's body, and he became a human being. Humans have always been designed to be body and soul creatures, which means the body isn't something that we get to use up and then discard. It's a gift. It's a resource. It's something that God has called us to manage well. Even in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve were obviously given bodies, but what were they given bodies for? Well, God gave them a command. He says, take care of the garden. Take care of the creatures and the plants. You're supposed to tend to this place. And in fact, he also gave their bodies for the benefit of each other and for the procreation of children. God entrusted their bodies to them that way they might use them well and use them in the ways that God has said are good. But what do we do instead? Do we destroy it with unhealthy habits? Or do we use it in ways that bring glory to God and service to our neighbor? Do we imagine that what we put into our body or what we do with our body has no consequence? If our goal is simply to gratify our selfish desires, to allow what feels good to be our guide, then both our body and our soul will suffer. And quite honestly, those around us will suffer too. We don't have to peer long into our world to see that this suffering is a reality. And since our text specifically mentions sexual sin, that seems like an appropriate place for us to start. In Corinth, there were, as our text told us, temple prostitutes. And you know what? The people who converted to Christianity really didn't want to give that up. It was fun. It felt good. And so they convinced themselves that it was okay for them to continue, go to the temple, not to worship, but just to receive this service. Now, that's not obviously a problem for us today. We don't use our bodies in that kind of manner. But, for instance, do you know what this Friday is? January 22nd. It's the anniversary of the Roe v. Wade decision by the Supreme Court, through which women have the right to choose what happens to their body. And consequently, they also have the option to choose what happens to the body of an unborn child. It means men, and especially women, can do whatever they want in their body. And if we'll say an unplanned inconvenience results, well, we know how to take care of that. Do you know who the winner in the Roe v. Wade decision is? Sexual immorality. And in fact, the winner is men, who often use women for the gratification of the flesh. The perception of the body as a selfish tool for self-gratification is not only seen here. It's not only in our world now. It's been in the world forever. Ever since sin entered, there have been sins against the sixth commandment. Jesus himself says, "Whoever lusts after a woman has already committed adultery with her in his heart." Lust destroys a man's heart. Lust turns women into mere objects for a man's pleasure. And you know what the pornography industry strives on? You know what it thrives on? You know what it lives on? This idea that the body is not part of a person. That the people you see in the screen aren't really people at all. When two people live together before marriage and indulge in the gratification of the flesh, it increases their likelihood for divorce. It increases the likelihood for broken homes for their children. And it cheapens marriage itself. Satan loves to attack the family. Satan loves to attack in all kinds of ways that we just don't want to hear about or talk about. But that's precisely why the Holy Spirit inspired the words of 1 Corinthians 6. To direct us towards a proper use of the body. The body is not meant for sexual immorality. And in fact, it's not meant to commit sins against the fifth commandment either, or the fourth commandment, or the third commandment, or any of the commandments. But the body is for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. What that means is it means God raises the value of the body far higher than the world will place it. It isn't just some arbitrary plaything for us, but instead it is a means by which we can serve others. Nowhere is this more evident than in the conception, birth, life, death, and resurrection of our Savior. What did Jesus do with the body that he was given? But he dwelt in the womb of Mary for 9 months, thus sanctifying the womb of every woman. He lives there telling us how precious even a little tiny conceived child in the womb truly is. He's born. In fact, he lives through childhood, and he's submissive to his parents, and he teaches us how precious even our children, and even when they make us try to tear out our hair, they are still a precious thing because Jesus deigned to become a child. He lives into a man, and what does he do with his body? But he uses it to serve. He takes some of the spit that's in the mouth of his body, And he spits on the ground and he makes mud and he places it over the eyes of a man who was born blind and he restores sight. He takes the fingers of his body and he puts them into a man's ears to restore that man's hearing. He sees the dead and he places his hand on them and they live. Jesus uses his body to serve and thereby showing us how much he values our bodies. That's what his healing miracles are about. He wants us to have lives of fullness in the body. He wants us to live long lives in our body. This is why he cares. And this is why he walks his body to Jerusalem, where he allows that same body to be beaten, where that body carries his cross up Mount Calvary, and where that body is hung for the entire world to see. And Jesus pours forth his blood from his body. The very body of Christ becomes the means by which the gates of heaven are opened. For you, and for me, and for the entire world. And because Jesus has used his body in this way, this is where we look when we misuse our bodies. When we live selfishly instead of selflessly, when we overstep God's commandments, when we delve into these things that we know we ought not delve into, and our bodies are used inappropriately, and Jesus even then looks at us from the cross and says, "You are forgiven." He knew we would abuse the gift. And that's why he died for us. And what's more is that that's why when he enters death, he doesn't stay dead. But in his own body, he rises back to life. And the very same body that still bears the marks of the cross, Jesus lives. This is the promise of resurrection for you too. The body that you are in now, it's not something that's going to pass away. And certainly, most of us here will probably die unless Jesus comes first. But even though that body will decompose, and even though your body might rot in the ground someplace, your body will still be a part of you. And your soul will one day be reunited with that body for all eternity. This is why in the Christian faith we call death sleep. Because our bodies and souls will be reunited, and on that day, we will serve God perfectly and love our neighbor perfectly. So what should we do with our bodies now? The body is for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. My friends, in your body, you were baptized. In your body, you have received the Lord's Supper for the forgiveness of your sins. Even in your body right now, you are using your ears to hear the Word of God proclaimed to you and the forgiveness of your sins. These are the things that make the body of the church. Because you have received these things, you are the body of Christ. And because you are the body of Christ, it means you are holy. Holy to live a life of service to God and love for your neighbor. My friends, may God grant us the ability and the desire to live as our Savior lived. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds and your bodies in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. At this time, I will direct your attention to page 192 of your hymnal as we sing together the offertory. Please stand. Thank you. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people, according to their needs. O Lord, you have called us into the fellowship and priesthood of your Son, Jesus Christ. By his incarnation and great work of salvation, heaven is open to us in him. Give us boldness to cling to your faithful call, that your deliverance would not be hidden, but spoken freely in all the world. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious God, preserve your church here and throughout the world. Send forth laborers into your harvest and sustain those you have sent, especially Matthew, our synod president, Mark, our district president, and Mark, our circuit visitor. Make all Christians bold in confession and unwavering in prayer. Lord, in your mercy. Father, you have given us your Holy Spirit, making our bodies your temple and knitting us together into the mystical body of your Son, Jesus Christ. Give us courage and constancy to treasure your gift of holy marriage. Preserve your Christians in true chastity, the married in honorable faithfulness to one another, and the unmarried in honorable purity. For you have bought us with the precious price of your Son's blood. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Almighty God, you are the Lord, and you do whatever seems good to you. As every lawful authority on earth comes from you, uphold in righteousness and health our nation with its leaders. Preserve in wisdom and honor Joseph, our president-elect, Kamala, our vice-president-elect, JB, our governor, and all public servants, including our armed forces, police, and first responders. Send peace in our time. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
O God, behold in mercy all for whom we pray, especially those on our prayer list and those we now remember in our hearts. Bring healing, comfort, strength, patience, and certainty to all in need. Receive our thanks for your constant watch and merciful kindness. In every sorrow and every joy, do not let our eyes be drawn from the greater marvel of your kindness in Christ Jesus, by whose grace and forgiveness alone we receive every blessing. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
All these things and whatever else you know that we need, grant to us, Father, for the sake of him who died and rose again, and now lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. At this time, I'll direct you to the back cover of your hymnal as we continue with the Lord's Prayer. Lord, remember us in your kingdom, and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen. Please be seated. Our closing hymn for today is number 828.